Hey Chummers, welcome back for another episode of Shadow Running on Empty, the lore podcast that gives you all of the information that we possibly gather about the sixth world and the things that are in it. Tonight's going to be a little bit different as we're down one member currently as they are out enjoying themselves in the Emerald City. But don't worry, your lore connoisseur is still here. Easy mode bringing you the lore that you enjoy digesting with your brains. And I am joined by my intrepid co-host, Austin. Austin, how are you this evening?
My brain is ready for consumption.
All right. We love consuming all the things. And interesting that you choose brain, you know, because of where we're probably going to be going today. I know a lot of people have been asking or mentioning it in our Discord when we talk to them about Shadowrunning on Empty. And it's something that we haven't touched on yet. And it is a big part of Shadowrun. It's what makes Shadowrun and different from any other of the tabletop RPGs that you could be out there playing, and that is cyberware.
Cyberware?
Not like where, or as in I looked too hard at this computer and transformed into cyberware. Am I crossing some lines there?
Oh, are you talking like a wear computer?
Yeah, I'm talking like a wear computer. Like if we were suddenly more than meets the eye.
Okay. Would you be an Autobot or a Decepticon?
You know, I would probably be a Decepticon just because Soundwave is my favorite.
That's fair. That's a valid choice.
And technically, is he a bad guy, or does he play in that gray area between the two?
I mean, I think Soundwave's a bad guy, I gotta be honest.
Look, maybe just a little bit.
Maybe just slightly.
That's true. Where would you fall on the group? Are you an Autobot or a Decepticon?
I would want to be a Maximal.
Wow. Just skipping completely. If that's the case, then let's go Dinobots. And I'll just be Grimlock.
It's fair. He is king.
He is king.
us not changing into things that might or may not be more than meets the common ocular perception.
Or more than meets the cyber eye, maybe.
Indeed. What are we talking about today?
We are going to start talking about cyberware, the thing that makes the sixth world so interesting, the breakthrough in medication and or the medical field and body modification. That's what I was going for.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes the sixth world so damn interesting is the ability to augment your body in different and unique ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess starting out, the easiest and most basic way here is we'll just go with what is cyberware, what are the different grades, how's it powered, how does it kind of work, and then we'll start talking about the different types of cyberware there are, with a focus on this first cyberware episode that we're doing, with a focus on headwear. So anything that can be packed into your skull. We got to start with what is cyberware.
I do think that this is a good hopping off point as well, considering the topic of the last recording that we did.
That's true, where we did talk about the good old, what was it, Neuralink implant?
Neuralink, yeah.
Yeah, this is a great jumping off, going right into that.
Nailed it. Definitely intentional. Nailed it.
In one.
Yep.
So, I mean, cyberware, what is it? It is the hardware or machine parts implanted into the human body, acting as an interface between the central nervous system and the computers or machinery that is connected to it. I know that sounds super basic.
Yeah, but it explains what it is.
Right?
Paints an easy picture. Know what you're dealing with. You got the robot bits, what on you?
Exactly. Well, you also have to have a lot of interconnectivity with these different pieces of cyberware. To get the most out of your cyberware, it is often necessary for various devices to communicate with each other. For example, if you have an eye camera and headwear memory, the eye camera should be connected to the headwear memory in a way that the pictures you take can be stored in the headwear. Cyberware devices can be linked to each other using an input-output transfer device, which allows the cyberware to exchange data.
I'm pretty sure that what you just described is called an eyeball and a brain.
Well, this way, your eyeball can snap pictures and you can store them like memory, but then also print them out.
Could you imagine if you had one cyber eye and one normal eye, and your cyber eye saw in higher resolution than what your normal eye did?
Yes, I could think of early iterations of cyber eyes doing that, so it completely throw off your perception of the world.
Yeah. Why is everything only half crisp?
Why can I see it 60 FPS in one eye, but 30 FPS in the other?
Rough.
It's tough. It's tough out in these streets.
It's like having a VR headset that does two different resolutions depending on which screen you're using.
Right, and it's split like right down the half, right in half. Like left side does this, right side does this.
Ugh. So the implants.
Yes, for the interconnectivity that allows the communication between cyberware devices can be completed by either a data jack or a router.
That I'm just imagining like a person walking around and they just have like a giant like old school router sticking out from like their shoulder blade.
No, it'd be strapped to the small of your back. You strapped to the small of your back or in between your shoulder blades, and you've got those the wireless signal antenna.
Oh, the little antenna ears sticking up.
Yeah. Oh man.
It boosts my range, dude. I'm just trying to get a good connection.
I'm walking Wi-Fi, bro. Briefly, because I know most people are familiar with data jacks, especially if you're a Shadowrun fan at all. If not, don't worry, we will talk about them and their usefulness and what they actually do. Data jacks do fall into the headwear area, so we will be touching on them this evening. Don't worry, we'll get there. As well as routers. So all these things will be explained as we go. I guess one of the other interesting things is that cyberware comes in four different types. You've got your basic cyberware, which is all just the mass-produced, easy to find. You could buy it at your local Wally World? Consumer Mart.
Yeah, there you go.
It's cheap and affordable, and it's mass-produced.
Mm-hmm.
The next step up you have from basic cyberware is what's called alphaware. Alphaware is cyberware that uses a higher quality material and has a better quality construction. The trade-off is that obviously it's more expensive. Most alphaware is going to cost twice as much as what your basic cyberware does.
It's a heck of a jump up.
It is, and it only goes up from there. The next step up after alpha is beta. Betaware, the difference here is that the cyberware is actually custom fitted and adjusted to fit the physiology of the user. All betaware has to be special ordered, and the user has to undergo a variety of tests to analyze the condition of their body and submit to DNA screening and chemical tests as well. Remember how alphaware was double the price of basic cyberware? Well, betaware is 4 times as expensive.
Oof. That's not good.
But if you want that custom, you know, Louis Vuitton cyber leg, you need that betaware.
It's fair.
And our final grade of cyberware is deltaware. Deltaware is the pinnacle of custom created cyberware. It is custom built for the user, is built out of the highest grade plastics, metals, and ceramics that can be found in the sixth world. While the deltaware implant is put into your body, the electronics are wired, infusing perfect compatibility with your nervous system. Deltaware is going to be 8 times as expensive as basic cyberware. And on top of that, deltaware can only be installed by specialist clinics, and most of these are under corporation control. You're not going to be able to go to just a new U station at your local mall and get cyberware, deltaware installed. It's not going to work. Too expensive, too custom. Also, with how customized deltaware is, it can often be mistaken for either an actual replacement limb, if it's a cyber limb, or it can look more like a work of art. So if you wanted those marbled cyber legs or marbled cyber arms, deltaware is where you want to go.
Oh, that would be pretty cool, though, I'm not going to lie.
The super custom made. Well, now that we've talked about grades and the different types of cyberware, how does it all work? The early efforts of cyberware required battery packs and recharging to power the devices. As time progressed, new breakthroughs were found by reinforcing the natural myolinear sheath interfacing that connects the nervous system pathways using superconductive and macroconductive materials that are constantly repaired and reconnected thanks to nanotech. Cyberware can be powered from within the body. Modern cyberware in the sixth world now runs on the natural bioelectricity that powers the flesh body. So there you go, everybody. The Matrix robots had it right. We power ourselves.
It's fair. The science checks out.
Science checks out. Even items that would seem to use more energy than the body can produce, such as cyber limbs or wired reflexes, can perform at the levels they do because these superconductive pathways pick up bioelectric current from other parts of the body and instantaneously feed it to the areas that need the power. The process used to redistribute neural bioelectricity alters the body's biochemistry. Some researchers believe that this base physiological change may also reduce essence, which could explain why there have been no further breakthroughs since the development of Deltaware. Be why Deltaware is the pinnacle. The body only has so much bioelectricity to use and can only be redistributed so quickly. And they're already operating at the maximum level for that.
So cyberware is peaked.
Yeah, that's not to say that new types of cyberware can't be discovered, but the grade at which they can be created is already at the pinnacle. And you have to pay well through the nose for it.
I guess so.
Yeah, eight times the initial cost for that Delta wear makes it very restrictive. Your average wage slave is not going to be able to achieve any kind of Delta wear in their lifetime. It's for the realm of experimental tech CEOs and the rich and the famous.
As is most of the cool technology.
Right? That's how it works now. So we did say that nanites are the crutch breakthrough that took place to enable cyberware and make it a thing where you don't have to have batteries or external chargers. Could you imagine having to plug your cyber arm in every evening before you could use it the next day? Not only that, but phased out, what is it? The planned obsolescence, right?
Yeah.
Ugh. You need to buy the new cyber arm. That would be horrible.
iArm 2.0 is coming out next year, man.
iArm? Do more push-ups. Be able to do the chin-ups that you've always dreamed with iArm. Well, like we said, nanites are the way. In the sixth world, nanites are the universal panacea for any problem that involves micro-engineering. The tiny machines used in almost every commercial endeavor. Manufacturing and heavy industry, primary production, medical and biomedical sciences, all have benefited immeasurably from these tiny wonders of modern technology. Most nanites used in the human body are approximately the size of red blood cells. They work on a multicellular level, so they don't need to be any smaller. However, that isn't the lower limit of their size. Nanites are capable of existing and operating on a molecular scale, although they're not necessarily needed for that size when operating within the human body. And without them, we wouldn't have the neuro connectivity to cyberware that is capable in the sixth world. You can actually pseudo feel your cyber limb, or feel through it, I guess.
I don't like that.
So it's like you have feeling again because the nanites are acting to create those neural pathways to your brain so that it operates like your real arm. And if you really wanted to, I guess you could have them set to a lower feedback frequency so you don't feel as much as what you would with a flesh and blood arm. Or I guess you could have it turned all the way up to 11. You could go either way with it. That is how the cyberware interacts with our body and how it's able to actually be used without needing any kind of external sources running completely off of our natural bioelectricity. And now the fun part. What type of cyberware can you cram into your body? Well, there's a lot. And tonight's episode is primarily going to focus on what can be put into your head.
Which in and of itself is a terrifying concept.
Yeah, especially when, I mean, you have to give up some space to be able to install some of these things. It doesn't just naturally integrate into what's already there. And that's why we're talking about this, so you have a better idea. So, where are we going to start? How about a chip jack? What do you think?
Sounds good. Or does it? What can a chip jack do for you?
The chip jack is a specialized type of data jack that allows the user to mentally access data softs and no softs. If the user also has skill wires, they can also access Actasofts. Only one chip can be used in a chip jack at a time, though the user can have more than one chip jack. So the chip jack is in essence like you're putting a USB slot or what would read one of the SanDisk memory cards. You know what I'm talking about? They usually find in digital cameras.
Yeah, like a micro SD.
Yeah, that's your chip jack.
Gotcha.
And so with that, you'd be able to basically do what's done in The Matrix, the movie. You could learn a skill. You could speak a language. Although, to be able to actively do the skill, you would also need the skill wire installation, which runs throughout your entire nervous system. So that's more of bodyware, but since we're talking about how chip jacks work, I'll include it in the description here. Most chip jacks are done at the base of the skull, sometimes along the back of the neck or behind the ear. That's your average setup. And if you want, you can get a chip jack all the way up into a multi-slot of four, meaning you could have four chips slotted at one time.
And I'm sure that there would be no negative repercussions to that at all.
Well, you can only have one active at a time, but you could have four loaded and you just cycle through whichever one you want mentally.
I mean, it is pretty cool. It would be pretty convenient.
I mean, having four languages loaded at once sounds pretty convenient. Having the translate immediately, like it's just someone speaks to you in another language and you are instantly recognizing what they're saying. Yeah. Pretty great, honestly. We'll skip tooth compartment. I think we all know what that is.
Got a whole mouth of fake teeth. That's where I keep the microfilm.
Yeah, I don't think I need to explain that. They come in two different types. There's the storage compartment and the breakable compartment.
Storage compartments for the microfilm, breakable compartments for the cyanide capsule.
Exactly. Or if you need to exhale that poison, just like in that Dune movie.
Right.
Yeah, pretty self-explanatory. Don't need to go into a whole lot of explanation there. It does exactly what you think it does. How about a data compactor, though? Probably something that we haven't talked about before.
Is that like a zip drive for your memory?
So the data compactor is logic circuitry to headware memory, accessory to headware memory. It increases data storage capacity by using advanced data compression algorithms. Stored data is compressed, then uncompressed automatically when needed. So it's WinZip in your brain.
Yeah. All right, I'll take it.
Being able to compress data instantly and then uncompress it when you need it.
Right.
It gives you more storage. You just have to give up some space. Yeah.
That's easily doable. What's going to take up that space? Brain? Don't need that anymore. You got a computer.
I mean, you're not wrong. Get a computer. Just give up some brain space. You know, it's fine. You would most likely be giving up some of your memory center of your brain to have this installed. So I guess record down those memories you want to keep and then play them back to yourself after you have your data compactor. Then you can relive those moments whenever you want.
In 8K resolution.
Ooh, fancy.
Well, that's why you use the compactor. Because you know, right. you know how much space 8K would take up?
That's a lot. Especially if you wanted that resolution. Come on. There's also a data filter. The data filter, when activated, blocks the flow of information from short to long-term memory. The user cannot later recall or remember anything that happened while the data filter was active. This device is popular with influential people who need to have aides or secretaries present during confidential proceedings. Such employees are fitted with a data filter that can be remotely activated. How scary is that?
I mean, being able to have any type of remote anything in regards to technology that's inside of your brain, not the best. That's not great.
The drawback to data filters is that the user is distracted while it's activated and cannot remember anything for more than a few minutes. Data filters are also implanted within the, quote, hosts and hostesses of underworld Bunraku parlors. The data filter ensures privacy while a Persona Fix chip turns the host or hostess into whomever the client desires. Nothing nefarious going on right there.
No, not at all.
Again, this is a device that is implanted within the memory center of your brain, if that wasn't already obvious. It just is able to shut off the neural pathways so that you lose being able to create memories. The workaround to this a little bit is the data filter only prevents the retention of memory received by the user's own senses. It does not block the function of ear recording, SIM rigs, eye cameras, or other cyberware recording devices. So it can only turn off your natural ability to remember things.
That would be really weird. Like, you get sent to do a mission where you have to, like espionage thing, where you have to capture some type of information, and it's just recorded into your brain, but you have no cognitive memory of it happening.
Right. Oof, it's just really weird to think about.
Yeah.
It's probably also very off-putting as well.
Yeah.
The nefarious uses of cyberware are many, to say the least. You don't want your corporate overlords to realize that you are remembering too many of the minutes of the meeting. So we have then the most common piece of cyberware that is in the sixth world, and that is the data jack. The data jack is the almost universal mark of the cyber-conscious user. Standard data jacks allow input and output to certain pieces of cyberware and gear. Data jacks allow the user to cybernetically interface with properly equipped gear, such as cyber decks, remote control decks, and vehicles with data jack ports, so that the user can manipulate them, issue commands, and so forth. Data jacks allow the user to mentally access headware memory. Contents of softs can also be downloaded into headware memory through a data jack. No softs cannot be accessed through a data jack without a no soft link. Data softs cannot be accessed without a display or image link. And ActiveSofts cannot be accessed without skill wires. Data fed into a data jack can in turn be fed into a display link, image link, or headware memory. So it's like we were saying, where the data jack is used for the interconnectivity in between other pieces of cyberware that you may have installed. It is noted that Deckers usually implant data jacks in their temples to access higher brain functions, while drone operators usually have them behind and below the ears, where they access the submandibular glands and lower brain. It is not unusual for someone to have more than one data jack. And of course, listed under data jack, we have the data lock, which is a device that essentially encrypts the data jack system. Input or output through a data jack requires a special code. This option is popular for couriers, as it can deny the carrier access to his or her own headware memory space. It also makes hacking into headware more difficult. So you can encrypt your own brain.
I mean, I would hope so. That feels like a bare minimum of what needs to be available.
Right? Especially if you're getting something that's like, best example I could think of would be from Johnny Mnemonic. You're getting the information implanted into your head, and so you would want a data lock so that it can't easily be retrieved. Bonus, the data lock is just installed along with the data jack. So depending on where you have it put, it's just like a extra couple pins that are red whenever something is connected to it that has to have the correct access code. I hope this is all making sense, or somewhat sense, so far.
So far, so good.
Next up on our headwear list, we have the Encephalon. The Encephalon is an expert system microcomputer hardwired directly into the user's brain and uses its processing power to augment the user's own information processing abilities. The Encephalon expands the brain's neural network, taking over minor and redundant quote-unquote background processes and freeing up the brain's processing power for more important cognitive tasks. While more powerful Encephalons are possible, they are pointless because they exceed the threshold at which the brain can interpret and manipulate data. The Encephalons allow you to learn more quickly. So when learning a new skill, the Encephalon is helpful at breaking that down because your brain is operating at a faster pace because the background redundant processes, you know, breathing and your heart beating, are put to the very back of your brain and handled by the Encephalon to free up your brain's thinking power. If you haven't guessed, they are extremely popular among the Decker crowd to be able to help process information that is fed from the matrix into their brain at a much faster rate. Hey, Chummers, just taking a quick moment to say, if you are enjoying what you hear, consider coming over to our Discord, where you can hang out with us and other like-minded Shadowrun enthusiasts. The link is in the description. While you're at it, check out our Patreon over at patreon.com/critical_hits. You get early access to episodes of Sinless. You get to vote on upcoming art that you want to see in the shows. And you also get full access to Worm Talks, just to name a few things. It's only $5, and that gets you in and helps us keep the lights on and making the content that you enjoy. And now back to the show. I believe the Encephalon is implanted into the top of your brain and sits between both hemispheres to be able to help process, well, processing power and helping with the automatic processes of your daily body. So I would assume it would be implanted through the top of your skull and inserted down into the midbrain in between both hemispheres. As that would make the most sense for where it's going to help you with your redundant processes of your daily body activities. Next up on our headwear list, we have a math SPU. And SPU stands for sub-processor unit, in case you were wondering.
What are they processing exactly?
Well, mathematics, obviously. A math SPU amplifies the host's mathematical abilities by enhancing math calculations as a background neural process. As a side benefit, the subprocessor also functions as a stopwatch, an alarm clock, and an extremely accurate chronometer. So you want to crunch code and numbers really fast? Get a math SPU. Or if you just want to do math better.
I mean, I always want to do math better.
Who doesn't want to math better, right?
You know, I remember when my teacher in elementary school used to tell me, you're not always going to have a calculator in your brain. Well, who's laughing now?
Well, first it was, you're not going to have the calculator in your pocket, and we proved them wrong. And now, no, you'll never be able to do calculus on your own. If, guess
my
what?
My teacher jumped straight to calculator in the brain. I think they knew, actually.
They were ahead of, they were well ahead of their time.
I think they knew what was coming.
Of course, there's also memory storage. And in the sixth world, storage space is interpreted as megapulses, or MP. Memory data storage is a space specifically inside the head. The amount of space available in megapulses to record input from a camera, a data jack, an ear recorder, headphone, head radio, opticam, sim rig, and so on. It will hold the raw data. Skill software and certain programs can be stored in headwear memory. Stored information may be output through a data jack, headwear communication, a NoSoft link, a display link, or an image link, in case you wanted it to come up on a CyberEye image link display. The largest amount of megapulses that are available for headwear memory comes up to 600 megapulses. Every SkillSoft, KnowledgeSoft, ActiveSoft, all of them take up a certain amount of megapulses, and it's usually based off of the rating of the skill.
Oh, okay.
On average, it is going to be, hang on, I have to do math, and we all know how this works.
If only it's some type of calculator in your brain would do it for you.
Ah, man, if only.
If only.
Now I need a calculator in my brain. So your average, say, rating 5 program, right?
Uh-huh.
And that's making you something like, say, close to Olympic level, right?
Uh-huh.
Is going to take up around 125 to 200 megapulses.
Okay.
Thereabouts.
Is there like a standard amount that cyberware would come with, or is this something specific that you would have to, that like...
This is, you have to choose when you have it installed, how much memory is going to be available.
Oh, so it's RAM.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, that took way longer than it should have for my brain to connect.
No, that's fine, that's fine.
If only I had a robot brain.
If only you had a math SPU and some other, and an encephalon to be able to process it faster.
I can tell you how many megapulses were firing just then. It wasn't high. It was not a lot.
It was not a lot. Well, there's also this interesting device called an RAS override.
Uh-huh.
And RAS stands for Reticular Activation System.
Interesting.
The RAS override is a device built into every sim deck, cyber deck, and remote control deck. It impedes the user's natural senses, such as sight and sound, so that the real world does not interfere with the sim sense being experienced.
Interesting.
Stimuli such as pain are not overridden, however, so a person who takes damage or feels the heat of a burning building around them will be aware of it.
Well, that sounds terrible.
The RAS also restricts the body's muscle activation mechanism, which keeps the user from moving in response to the stimuli. Or in response to the sim sense, not the stimuli. The RAS filters through just enough minor muscle activity to keep the user from cramping. Though built into SimReg, cranial cyber decks, and cranial remote control decks, the RAS override is also available as an independent implant, favored by users of OptiScan links. Some penal institutions have also been known to use remotely activated RAS override implants in conjunction with SimSense systems to hinder troublesome inmates. You know, those super violent ones that have to be plugged in all the time to see rainbows and puppies and happiness and not go into a murderous rage.
Absolutely. You would hate to have that happen.
Oh yeah, you definitely hate to have it happen. You don't want that. That's a bad day for everybody.
Big shame.
Big shame. Big shame. You also have a router that can be installed in your head. The router is a junction device that acts as an input-output conduit between cyberware devices. Like a data jack, each router has a direct neural interface, allowing the user to monitor and manipulate transfers between devices. Devices are connected to the routers through various assigned ports. Cyberware that is not headware must be connected using expensive nanite-constructed microfilament fiber optic cables that run through your body. That's right, everybody. Fiber optics inside your body.
You'll be all lit up and look cool.
You can LED your bloodstream.
Yeah, give me RGB veins, please.
please, I'm asking. And of course, you can always have a tactical computer installed in your brain. A tactical computer is a dedicated expert system designed to integrate data input from numerous senses, analyze it, and enhance the user's overall feel for combat situation. The basic tactical computer model features one input port linked to each of the user's five basic human senses. Meta-human senses such as low light vision are not included. Additional ports may be installed for additional sensory input. Each port must be either dedicated to a specific sense upon installation or installed as a generic port. Any sense may be linked to the computer, including natural senses, cybersense implants, or even externally connected sensor devices. Example would be a surveillance camera on a drone transmitting images through the user's headwear radio linked through a router.
Gotcha.
See, we have all those wonderful pieces of cyberware working in conjunction with one another.
Right.
The tactical computer uses the sense feeds to track targets and motion, predict movements, computer trajectories, and otherwise anticipate events and outcomes. Appropriate responses are calculated and fed back to the user as subconscious impulses. The implant can be used as a standalone device or can act as the master unit for a cybernetic battletech system if linked to a radio. Most battletech systems are used in conjunction with drones A tactical computer can be easily integrated with teams using the BattleTech system. If linked to a radio, a tactical computer modified for BattleTech protocols can act as a BattleTech master unit. The tactical computer can transmit constant battlefield data to BattleTech receiver units, both cybernetic and external, allowing small units to respond more quickly and effectively. It's a way for a drone operator to be experiencing and monitoring and issuing quicker commands to a large amount of drones.
Right.
So that's who it's mostly used by, is you're going to find drone operators or combat vehicle specialists will most likely take advantage of a BattleTech system.
Interesting.
Could you imagine, though, you're fed the subconscious results as it's analyzing the battlefield data? You don't know why your hand is moving towards missile control, but you feel like it's a good idea.
That's when you name your drone Intuition, and you just go, I just follow intuition. Hope for the best.
That's so true. Here we go. We did mention them, but we haven't talked about them yet. There are cranial remote decks, or CRDs. The CRD incorporates computer and microtronic advances that allow drone operators to control drones through a remote deck in their head. This offers the drone operator greater mobility and reduces the number of external devices that they must manage. So instead of having to sit in like a battle chair and operate a bunch of different control ports, you can just plug it directly into your cranium, most likely installed in the lower portion of the back of the skull into your cranial cavity. And then your ports would be underneath the ear, going probably down the back of the neck.
Look, you just set it and forget it.
Well, you just sit down in the chair and then you're linked in with everything, so you're good to go. I think we'll do cyber eyes as their own thing, because there's a lot of different things you can cram into your eyes. As weird as that sounds, technically they are headwear, but
no, that makes sense.
As long as that makes sense, that's what I was worried about.
Yeah, get with the eye cramming.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you could get an internal GPS linked into your head.
That would be helpful.
I would think that it would be, especially if it shows you, like, you have an image display, right?
Yeah.
In your cyber eyes, as well as the GPS. And then it just maps a line for you, so you know you're headed in the right direction. Like you're playing GTA, right? And you just set your location, and it draws the line on the map.
Yeah.
That's what I think it would do.
Yeah. Yeah. You just get like a little HUD in the bottom right-hand corner of your vision.
Yeah. You can get subdermal speakers. They are usually implanted under the skin, just behind the ear. These tiny speakers vibrate various bones in the ear to transmit sound. Thus, if you want to have private conversations, you don't want everybody to listen in from regular speakers or talking over a phone, you can pipe it through your subdermal speakers behind your ear. Another nifty little device you can get is something called a transducer. The transducer is a device that is wired directly into the brain and translates non-vocalized mental impulses into words and vice versa. An external version of this device also exists, creating the same effect when linked between a data jack and a radio. In addition to being useful for clandestine communications between Shadowrunners, The transducer has revolutionized the lives of people who were born unable to vocalize or who have suffered severe damage to their vocal cords.
That's pretty sick.
Right? When linked to a radio, telephone, or other communication device through either a data jack or a router, the user can send and receive communications without speaking aloud. Couple that with the subdermal speakers and you could have private conversations all the time.
Right.
The other fun part with the transducer is if two individuals with transducers connect to each other via data jack, they can effectively communicate mind to mind.
Well, that is pretty cool.
Yeah, you just have to share a wire between yourselves from your data jacks.
Bringing back link cables.
There is an assist converter. The assist converter converts SimSense signals transferred through a data jack into something the metahuman brain can understand and vice versa. All SIM decks, cyber decks, remote control decks, and other direct neural interface devices contain this technology. Because you've got to be able to understand the information that's being sent to you.
Very true.
Otherwise, what's the point? So there is another type of data jack other than what we have come to know is like the Ethernet port that gets installed into your head. And that is the induction data jack. The induction data jack is implanted under the skin. To use it, you must attach a magnetic induction adapter to the jack cable. This positions the cable against the data jack and information is transferred optically through the skin.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's weird, but if you want your data jack to be invisible to visual scans, then you would have an induction data jack. This next one is kind of weird. I don't know why you would necessarily want it. Well, after you hear what it is, maybe we can figure out some reasons why. It is called the IMS, the Invoked Memory Stimulator.
Mm-hmm.
The IMS periodically dredges up and triggers various memories. The character or the person hears voices, sees faces, remembers people long dead or long forgotten, remembers good times and bad times, and so on. The memories are so vivid that the person may occasionally confuse memory with reality.
Would you like to give yourself techno dementia?
I mean, I could see it as something that might help people with Alzheimer's.
I mean, the description of the side effect just sounds like Alzheimer's, though. Like, that just sounds like you're giving yourself techno Alzheimer's. It's techno dementia.
That's like, true.
It's a double-edged sword scenario for sure.
Well, it does actually state what is actually used for and why it exists.
What do we got?
It's for the creation and use of cyber zombies.
Oh, fun.
Because in the creation of a cyber zombie, you remember you've been crammed full of so much cyberware that your soul wants to leave your body because it thinks it's dead.
Right.
And so the IMS triggers memories to help tether the soul to the body.
Right.
Because you're reliving these memories. It's like horrible reverse RoboCop.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Right? God, that would be terrible. I guess cyber zombies are a thing we'll have to talk about. Maybe when we're at the end of going through all the different types of cyberware, like body wear and matrix wear and all that stuff, we'll talk about cyber zombies. Because they are a thing. And they are frightening. The only other headwear stuff, other than obviously eyewear. I guess there's ears. We didn't really talk about ears. There's not a whole lot that's done with cyber ears. You can get a sound filter. Very self-explanatory. Helps you filter through the different sounds that you might be hearing. You can get an ear recorder, which will allow you to record any audio that you're hearing. You'd have to have that connected to an external memory storage device through a data jack, or have the headwear memory space available to record whatever it is you're recording. There's the ear dampener, which helps dampen the loud sounds that you would hear, like something from a flashbang or an explosion, to help prevent blowing your eardrums out. Then there's the good old just cyber replacement ears. You lost your ears somehow, you can get cyber replacements. So you wanted chrome ears on the side of your head, here you go.
And who doesn't?
You know what? I guess. There's also cosmetic cyber ears, where if you wanted elf ears and you're not an elf, you could get them. Or if you wanted the ears to be something else, you could get them replaced into being something else. The cosmetic modification kind of lets you go wild with what you would want to replace your ears with. I guess you could get your ears replaced with dog ears if you really wanted to. For the side of your head for a cosmetic mod. I don't know why. But there you go. The only thing that we haven't touched on with the matrix wear that goes into your head are the cyber decks. They're the different cyber decks that you could use and have them installed directly into your head, as opposed to having an external cyber deck. So you could operate it completely mentally if you wanted, as opposed to having an analog cyber deck that you fiddle with. So how much of your head do you want to give over to being able to be the ultimate decker?
How much space you get?
I mean, you give up space for a cyber deck, and then you get a math SPU, and then you get an acephalon. I would imagine your head has to get really heavy after that.
Yeah.
Like, do you just sit in a chair the rest of your life because you can't hold your head up under its own weight anymore?
Yeah, probably.
I guess, because then you have to think you need data jacks or routers to be able to communicate between all of those as well.
Very true. Very true.
If you go with the full headwear augmentation, people are definitely going to know it. Especially those cyberdeck units. I'd have to think that even getting them installed, you can't cram an entire cyberdeck into your head. So I have to think that it has to sit externally on your skull as well.
Yeah, that would make sense.
And then you just access it with your mind.
Right.
So you'd look like the guy from Empire Strikes Back, the bald one. That
Lobot?
Yeah, that controls the security forces on Cloud City. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, good old Lobot.
See, there we go.
He's a reliable friend.
Reliable friend. So of the headwear that we have discussed this evening, any of them jumping out to you? You ready to get any of those installed right away?
No. No, I am not.
It's just a hard no, huh?
Your Honor, no.
Why?
No, look, we've had our conversations on this podcast before in regards to you knowing my feelings about the, you know, that type of augmentation scenario, as it were. I do think that they do a very good job of making a lot of generally appealing cyberware, and so like, and also being able to look at stuff and be like, oh, practical application wise, I completely understand like what this would be useful for.
Okay.
So I do think that there's some cool stuff like that. Being able to do stored memory is cool, because you know there's like the whole human memory is like notoriously one of the most unreliable things in the planet and that type of stuff. So I do think that there is the potential for cool stuff that you can get out of it, but personally, you know, I'm not gonna be jumping to the front of the line trying to get my my jack installed anytime soon, as it were.
yeah, I have to agree, especially because we haven't reached the level in our technology yet that is nanotech to make this completely self-reliant on our bodies.
Right.
Like if we're approaching the level of cyberware that is listed here, it's all going to be externally powered.
Yeah, it's going to be the router strapped to the middle of your back, and then the power brick belt strapped around your waist that you have to continuously switch your USB-Cs into
right?
in order to make sure that your brain stays powered.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Remember, you got to plug your cyber arm in at the end of the evening so you could use it tomorrow.
Right.
And then you have to think about planned obsolescence and how that's going to affect you, because corporations, they need their money. You can't just buy one cyber limb and then be done. There's no profit.
That's amateur hour right there. That's yeah. No, so, yeah. It's so like from that standpoint, not my cup of tea. However, I do think that the implementation of that type of technology, like when we were talking about the people being able to do the communication.
Oh, through nonverbal into verbal?
That type of stuff would be like really cool for somebody that maybe had like an injury or is mute and wasn't able to nonverbally communicate. That gives them an alternative option that I think would be a really, really cool thing.
Yeah, it'd be super cool.
Or same within that same vein, somebody who's blind, and then you're like, here's robot eyes. That would be kind of cool.
I've always worried about that one the most, right? Because getting your eyes hacked.
Yeah. Oh,
that is such a fear.
The concept of having your robot eyes hacked is legitimately one of the scariest things to me about the Shadowrun universe. Like,
yeah,
no joke. That would be such a nightmare scenario.
Oh my god, yes, it would be. Huh, it's scary to think about. That's the one thing that I would worry about the most, to the point of where it would almost be like what you said, where I've got one regular normal human eye and a cyber eye. So right. I deal with the horrible, you know, high def in one eye and normal boring vision in the other, just for the fact of I can close one eye and still see the world that's going on.
Right.
As to opposed to it just being shut off remotely. That's a scary thought.
Yeah. Yeah, not a fan.
No, definitely not. Especially if you haven't seen it, there is a movie that deals with that whole concept of your vision being messed with because people have their eyes replaced with, you know, some kind of cybernetic ones or technology-based sight. And there's like a hacker that just removes themselves from it completely, to where they can walk around in a crowd full of people and they wouldn't be seen because they're just not there.
Right.
I think it was called an Anonymous.
I think that's right.
I think that's called, don't quote me on that. I'm not 100% sure. It's been a while since I watched it, but that put a real fear in my mind about cyber eye replacements. And that's something that I naturally would have wanted, because I have terrible vision to begin with, where I need, corrective lenses and everything. Mm-hmm. So I worry about my eyesight deteriorating as I get older. So yeah, cyber eyes were a very interesting prospect to me, but the possibility of then completely losing that ability to see is pretty daunting.
Yeah.
So no on the headwear for you.
Yeah, no, not personally.
Okay. I'm going to also join you on not much headwear seems very appealing to me. If you're listening, let us know, would any of the headwear that we talked about this evening interest you? Do you think that you would jump on that, or are you holding out for maybe some of the more interesting cyberware that we can get, especially when we get to talking about bodywear? There's a lot of cool things. And we will get to that next time that we do one of these cyberware talks. I don't know if we're going to call it anything specific right now. If you have suggestions, please come in to our Discord. Let us know. Jump on in there. Jump into the Shadowrun and on Empty. Let us know what you think. Tell us your thoughts. Share with us. Maybe you could help with the naming convention. Who knows? Right?
There's no such thing as a bad idea. Except for some that are very obviously bad ideas, and you already, yes, know which one those and are.
Yeah, you're very aware of what those are.
You're well aware of what you're doing.
Austin, any final thoughts about headwear, cyberwear in the Six World?
No. You just nightmare.
Just pure nightmare fuel, unless you want to be really good at math. Then maybe.
Yeah, yeah, then maybe. Then you know what? Might be worth it in the long run.
Then maybe. Okay, last question. If the Matrix existed, like in the Sixth World, would you be more interested in getting headwear installed?
I think that if we were within the Sixth World, there are ones that would just be of convenience that it would be worth it, like the built-in MapQuest / GTA HUD that we discussed.
Yes,
that's just a nifty one. Again, the expandable storage for memory is just,
oh, the data compressor,
yeah, is just always a potential for some good stuff. So I think that there are ones like that, but like the honest answer is that I would only want to go for like the boring utility type of tech and would not have any real interest in like the cosmetic tech and like all that fun stuff.
So just regular old, I could get the GPS.
Yeah.
Give me the data jack so it can communicate between the things, and you know what? I would probably get a chip jack.
Yeah, just like as practical as possible, please. That's all I'm looking for.
Super duper practical things that I could use to help make my everyday life just a little bit better.
Exactly.
I could understand that. Okay, that's the page that we're on right there. It makes complete sense. Listeners, let us know what you think about that. Are you more for the practical, everyday use of cyberware? Are you going to go full tilt and just replace my flesh, for it is weak?
Flesh is weak. That is a factual statement.
That is indeed a factual statement. Well, you guys, thank you for hanging out with us so much this evening. I hope we have brought you some things to think about, as well as a better understanding of how some of the cyberware for your head at least works in the Sixth World. And as always, you guys, we we'll catch you on the next one.
The Topps Company, Inc. has sole ownership of the names, logo, artwork, marks, photographs, sound, audio, video, and or any proprietary materials used in connection with the game Shadowrun. The Topps Company, Inc. has granted permission to Critical Hits to use such names, logos, artwork, photographs, sound, audio, video, and or any proprietary materials for promotional and informational purposes on its website, but does not endorse and is not affiliated with Critical Hits in any official capacity whatsoever.